challenging the Great Reset. You all have heard the explanation, and people just go, well, there's nothing we can do about it. And I tell you right from beginning this morning, don't you dare believe a lie that there's nothing we can challenge the Great Reset. We have the power of the living God, and our life is not in the hands of people who serve Satan. Our life is in the hands of Jesus Christ. Last time I looked it up, he owns everything. He owns this whole creation. He, quite frankly, he owns you and me. And we have nothing to look forward to if we don't believe that. We have everything to look forward to if we believe it. And so we need to remind ourselves when we go into the Word of God, what the Apostle Paul is writing to the Romans. Remember, Paul is a Roman citizen. Paul has experienced every imaginable and unimaginable event in his life, what we will call testings, tribulations, whippings, shipwrecked, trying to float along in the Mediterranean, making it to the shore, being hunted down by the authorities. He knows what he's talking about when he says to the Romans in verse 1, chapter 12, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship, or some translations say reasonable. Do not be conformed to this world. See that? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And you may sit this morning and you say, there's no way that I have the capacity to really do this. And the next few verses, the Apostle Paul tells us why the local church is the most important thing you will ever have in your life next to Jesus, so you can actually be reminded and get the help you need. Listen to this. Paul says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. In other words, I can manage that all by myself. He said, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. Let me say, each according to the measure of faith. Not what you whip up, not what you claim, but what God has assigned. This is a gift from God. For as in one body, that's the body of Christ, we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, that means speaking the word of God forth, in proportion to our faith, if service, in serving, the one who teaches, in his teaching, the one who exhorts, in his exhortation, the one who contributes, in generosity, the one who leads, with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. You see that? Serve the Lord. These are great challenges the Apostle Paul is not giving to the world, not to the people outside of the church. He's talking to the believers. He's talking those who have been saved by grace through faith alone, those who have put their trust in Jesus, said, if you believe that you are going to go solo, If you believe that if you have certain things accumulated, that will kind of insulate you against the problems that may come. If you believe that when you're down, you're going to pull yourselves up at the bootstraps. If you believe that you have all the gifts and all the faith you need to conquer what's coming, he said, you are actually a fool. God gave you the body of Christ so we can work through these things together. We can help one another. How many of you know you have gifts? How many of you know you have been empowered to use those gifts? Use it. Always in conjunction of showing the love of Jesus. Not so that you can be patted on the back. That's not what we do. The times we are in it, this is crucial. Because not even renewing our mind daily can be done without the help of our brothers and sisters. How many of you have ever made the commitment, especially at the beginning of the year? Oh, I'm going to do this every day. And then by end of January, every day went into every week. By end of February, once a month. And before you know it, fades somewhere away. Now, if you are connected with the body of Christ, and you come here to church on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night, every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, you'll be reminded to renew the mind with the Word of God. Even if you are busy throughout the week, at least you get it twice a week. Twice a week is better than nothing. It's not an additive. If everything goes well, I can skip. When nothing goes well, I better be there. This is not Christianity, okay? This is entertainment. You're entertaining thoughts from the world, which is always giving you a ride that is like up and down and up and down and up and down, but never progressively better. And on top of it, if you live like this, you're robbing your brothers and sisters of a gift which God has given you, which you should use among the body of Christ. Great challenges. Obviously, before we can challenge anything, we need to know exactly what we're up against, otherwise you can't challenge it. How can you challenge anything if you don't know what you're up to? And I've said it before and I say it again, the World Economic Forum calls the biggest challenge ahead of us the Great Reset. I listened to some of the leaders of that movement the other day, and they are so confident that they have the whole world population where they want them to be, and that there is not a man or not a single human being on the planet that can challenge the Great Reset to come. That's exactly verbalized. There is nothing you can do. As a matter of fact, Klaus Schwab, the president of Economic Forum, said it this way. He said, anyone, I quote him, anyone who thinks the Great Reset will not be implemented is a fool. Yeah. And when I listened to that, I said, Lord, give me something I can challenge my people. We will challenge not just the statement, we will challenge the implementation. And the people who do not go for it are the people who see clearly. I don't know about you, but you have probably recognized lately you can actually go even in our surroundings, in our neighborhood, into a store, and people are not anymore so adamant about wearing masks. Have you recognized that? No law has changed. People changing their thinking. So who's got the power? I mentioned to Kennedy yesterday, we were talking outside the meeting, and I said to him, you know, years ago I read a story, it's a biography, from a man who was greatly used by God, especially in the miraculous. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. And he did some incredible things. So he made a mistake. He went to Europe, and he had quite a few miracles in his crusades. And he went to Switzerland, of all places. And there were a few miracles that were happening, and the authorities were watching him, and they arrested him in Switzerland. Why? The charges against him was that he is a man who practices medicine without a license. So he had to leave Switzerland. So I told Kenny, I said, we got thousands of people in the federal government, state government, governors, city councils, county officials. They all practice the last 12 months medicine without a license. You know what that is, federally speaking? That's a crime. Now, if you have a politician, you cannot take a license from them because my wife just quoted the title of a book. And the title of the book is License to Lie. If you would only know who actually published that book. That woman is known now as the woman who said, let me release the Kraken. She wrote that book a few years before and exposed the great corruption in the Department of Justice, in which she, as an attorney, worked for almost 20 years. And no wonder they don't like her. So we don't challenge her. What we do want to challenge is what is being presented to us as a glorious utopian future. And we say, no, we're going to go for the future that Jesus has promised us. Not the one, these people who have no good intentions for the populace, as in general, for you or me, they have planned things which Jesus would say, this is going to kill you. That's not going to be a future. So today I'm going to focus on two things, two words. One of them is ideological, and the other one is wokeness. And that's only a part. And the reason for it is we hear those words being spoken. And how many of you know, very few people know what they think when they use those words. So you and I can obviously not withstand and challenge those words unless we understand what they mean. So I cannot read their minds. I cannot suggest what they were meaning. I need to go and research what they have published, what they say it means. And then we can take their words, and then I give it to you, and then you can make a choice if you still like them or not. So when it comes to ideology, let's go to the Oxford Dictionary. And this is what it says, or the English Dictionary. It says, ideology is a system of ideas and ideals, especially one which forms the basis of economic or political theory and policy. In other words, if you look at the dictionary's definition, you recognize that if somebody has some ideas and wants to implement them, such as the Great Reset, they will use that as the basis of economic and political and religious, may I add, policy. That means that which they are going to put into law for you and me to obey. That's what that means. So when you hear the word ideology or ideologically, we're going to implement this. That's what they say. This is our foundation. So listen to the ideas. Even if you think they may have gone on a journey way beyond this galaxy to come up with it, we still need to know what they're saying. We need to understand it. Arthur Michael Rechtenwald from the Mises Institute asked this question. He says, just how do the planners mean to establish the reset ideologically? How do they plan it? He said, that is, how would a reset of the mass mind come to pass that would allow for the many elements of the Great Reset to be put into place without mass rebellion, that is? So in other words, they have to come up with something that people will not rebel against. It's going to sound good, such as what you're going to get soon, another stimulus check. After all, if the Great Reset is to take hold, some degree of conformity on the part of the population will be necessary, despite the enhanced, extended, and more precise control of the population that transhumanist technology and the centralized digital currency would afford. In other words, he said, here is going to be coming something to the United States and to around the world, in order to keep the masses happy. In the background, they will install, put it put it up one more time. They will install something entirely different. They will install a transhumanistic technology with total control of the populace because you were busy fighting some other little things. In other words, we get hammered from every corner. You can hardly absorb it, what's coming. It's going so fast. So you can see where that's going to go. He said, how are we going to do this? Let's listen to the rest of that question. This is the function of ideology. Ideology establishes a social legitimation. That means the social people in the whole society consider the implementation something that is the legitimate way to move forward. He goes on to say, it's necessary for gaining the assent of the ruled. The battleground is in people's heads. What does Paul say to the Romans? Now listen to this. And if the battle is won on the ground, then the peace and tranquility of society are guaranteed. Ideology on this account is not the same as worldview. It is rather the mental programming necessary for domination and control short of the use of force. Ideological indoctrination is easier, less messy, and less expensive than state and state-sponsored violence. End of quote. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, renew your mind daily, and you must make sure that you are not being sucked in by the way the world thinks. Now, this is nothing new. You think we have been in the most unique situation nobody has ever gone through, and we hear it all the time. Just read history. Let me give you a simple example. 400 some years ago, the Roman Catholic Church was in control of religion, state, and science, and economic powers. There's nobody in Europe that reigned without the Pope initiating the coronation of the leadership, period. You may not know that, even today, some of the greatest scientists are actually working for the Roman Catholic Vatican authorities. They actually have scientific forums once a year where they discuss these kind of things. They know what's going on. But we know that they're not always right. Remember the story of Galileo? He had the audacity to challenge the authority of his days and said to the Vatican, it is absolutely wrong that the sun is traveling around the earth. For some of you maybe, no, he was right. Let me tell you something. It's the earth circling around the sun. Did you know that? Good. So 101, that's good. We got that in. That's not what they believed for thousands of years. And when one man stood up and said, I challenge this scientific truth, he obviously went before the tribunal. And in order to save his skin on his head, he recanted. But on the way out, he said these famous words. He walks out and said, and yet it moves. And he left. He saved himself. In other words, he said, you do whatever you want to do. I challenged you. I know better. So these were the dark days of ignorance. And religious and powerful institutions kept people on purpose in that ignorance. Because if you are challenging that status quo, they have to admit that they were wrong. And how many of you know even today, whatever they tell us, and you will challenge them, they know that they will never, ever admit that they were wrong because some people are going to go to jail. If you kill hundreds of thousands of people because you tell them that a medication that's available to at least help to go through this pandemic, and you make it illegal to prescribe it, and you threaten the medical professional that they cannot subscribe it to any patients, otherwise they lose the license, that means you cover up something. That means we went back to darkness. And that means we need to challenge these people and say these people need to be held accountable. Amen. Before they govern us I thought last time I read in the Constitution that the people are actually the ones that govern. When has that changed? Since Cuomo came along, Fauci came along. Oh, those Italians, they're just crazy. I think the Galilean trial was in Italy too. It's just crazy, it never stops. I wrote it down for you what came to my mind as I prepared that message. And I think maybe can take that to your heart. I said, we are living in a time where, once again, moral courage is a necessary characteristic if we successfully want to challenge the Great Reset, which includes government-anointed superstitions about global warming, global health crisis, global utopia, global, correct? And obviously global religious unity and global economy. Challenge one of these and you are on the radar for destruction. That's where we are today. And you said there is no way that we can change that. Don't you know if the church would wake up to the power of the Holy Spirit, to the power of prayers, to the power of moral courage, do you know the enemy would flee? Do you know that? The Bible tells us when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise a standard up against it, but he uses his people. We're like dumb sheep following those stupid instructions. Not we, sorry. I got the best people in town. I do. Otherwise, my family would be the only one walking around without masks, correct? It is yet to be seen, as we go down that road, what kind of damage these decisions, the politicians and so-called health experts have implemented. By the time we have the full accounting for it, these people will not be alive. But when you lock up children for a year where they can't go to school, you tell two-year-old to put masks on when they need every ounce of oxygen available to develop their brain, and then 20 years from now, they have health problems everywhere and forget about the vaccines. We don't know yet the implications of all these things. We're just being used as guinea pigs. And the people say, here we go, he's an anti-vaxxer. Amen. I have the moral courage to tell you the truth. I've had vaccines for so many years, I can't count. Vaccines are not medication. There are 72 vaccines, I found out this week, they are officially registered and approved in the United States of America, 72. None of them has a 100% guarantee. None. Now the last ones, the last thing we're going to get now, these are not vaccines, these are biological weapons. The M, at the beginning there, the M is the big problem. RNA we had already in vaccines before, but that M stands for messenger. And that messenger is a software, a miniature software that will reprogram your immune system. Don't you dare mess with your immune system. It's the only thing you and I have to naturally fight everything that goes against your body. This is a God-given gift to the human body to walk through anything in this life, and internally there is a mechanism going on of information highway up here to all the organs that will attack every intruder, and the messenger will shut that down. We have over 1,000 officially registered deaths in the United States since we introduced the vaccines. Died within 24 hours because of the vaccines. Just look it up. We are living in times where you and I have to have moral courage and stand up and say, no. Could you imagine if 70-80% of the American people would say, absolutely not, unless we have all our political leaders in line and everybody gets a shot and let the people apply it, not those who put water in it. Then after 6 months, we go back and see how well they do. They don't do well right now, then they will really do not well. Don't give the people something you don't take yourselves. We need to constantly be renewed and never be conformed to this world. That's what Paul says. Never be conformed to this world. I wrote these first two verses down from 12 because I underlined a few things for you. Let's put it up. Okay, here we go. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to whom? To God. I wrote down, not to the World Health Organization or to human authority. This body belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. You are redeemed. We were singing this morning. You have been bought with a price. It's given to you as a gift to function in this world. Don't let anybody fiddle around with it. And he says, that's not just for your health. He says, this is for a spiritual act of worship to God. We dedicate to God that which God has given us and use it for his glory, including our bodies. Do not be conformed to this world, and I wrote down, ideologically brainwashed by constant propaganda, and boy, is that going on. Do you know that the World Health Organization and the CDC have hired Hollywood actors to go around, make YouTube videos, and act on behalf of them to sell the vaccines to the people? If it's that good and so effective, why do you have to pay people? But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And listen to that. But by testing. You and I need to test anything. When somebody has a syringe in their hands, wouldn't you like to know what's in there? I would like to know what's in there. I never forget when I went to the doctor one day. I go about every 10 years, preferably 20. And you know, when you turn 50, he looks at you and said, have you ever thought about we should probably do a colonoscopy? And I said to him, Doc, I see you every 10 years. And you know what? Just in case you've forgotten, I got a garden hose at home. He looks at me and he said, we're done with that discussion. I said, you got that right. Just wanted to test him. He discerned my thoughts and ideas. He was a very good man. But we have to test and we have to discern what is the will of God. What is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect? There's a lot of stuff that's not good and it's not acceptable and it's not perfect. And you and I have to discern that and then stand up against it. People tell me, Pastor, one day somebody's going to knock on the door in your house. I said, yeah, three dogs will meet him. Not a problem. Then I go and look at what they have for a meal later on. The Apostle Paul, when he said that, he did not invent that about the mind, about not being transformed to the world. He's an Old Testament scholar, Paul. He knows what he's talking about. It. And then he knows how Jesus summarized what the Old Testament is giving us as a guide to live by. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. And then drop in by verse 34. The Pharisees, these were not just the religious leaders. These guys had the entire Jewish state politically under their fingers. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and what? There's the mind. There is that thing. Think. Fill it with God's thing, not with worldly stuff. With all your mind. Do you know what? That capacity, that little brain up here, you can actually go and do some research. It's very interesting. My problem is when I do research, I always like to follow a rabbit trail because it's so interesting. And you will have no sermon on Sunday, so I have to stop about halfway down before I get to the rabbit, correct? So, but do you know that if you are an average American and you use your brain every day for work, you have maximum use 2% of your brain capacity in a lifetime. Do you know that? That's a 98% waste. I'm not telling you that you should go into high gear. I would love you to do it. But I'm telling you that what an awesome God we serve. When God blesses us with his creation, he always overdoes it with gifts. He doesn't do, okay, I'm going to give them a little bit because they're going to maximize that in about 6 years. No. God overwhelms us with his goodness, with his blessing, with capacities in our body. He never has to come, oh, this guy outdid it. He overrun. I mean, he doesn't even have storage capacity any longer. I need to upgrade him. No, that's not the way God works. That's the way transhumanists work. God gave you so much, you will never need an upgrade. You just need to use it more. It's quite amazing, isn't it? We get to heaven, and God says, what did you do with the other 98% I gave you? Oh, I didn't know I had them. Yeah. The same is with everything God has given us in this body. The same is with your immune system. I don't know percentage-wise how much we use it, but I tell you what. This thing can go in an overproduction. It's unbelievable. I think our medical scientists still try to figure out how awesome God has put us together. And they probably will never figure it out all the time. So this is why he said, with all your mind, when you do this, he said, then you are capable of using that principle by interactions with your neighbors. And that's the second command. And love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the laws and the prophets. You and I will be much better equipped to love our neighbor and not to fall into the trap the way the world does business if we are loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength. The rest flows out of it. So may I suggest to you this morning that it could be that a lot of people have problems with fellow neighbors, always see faults or don't want to do things, or it's all about money. That you might have a problem not with your neighbor. You might have a problem with God. You might not love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Because if this vertical is perfect, if this is in line, this will always work out. That's what God says. And that's something which we just have to challenge ourselves. Paul understood that because he, by that time, knew how God operates. But this is not how the world operates. And that's why we cannot be constantly transformed by worldly thoughts. Let me give an example. How many people believe that the Great Reset is the greatest thing since Jesus came? Professor Richard Lewontin, he's quite a character. He's a geneticist and is one of the world's leaders in evolutionary biology. These are top brainies, what we call. He has greatly contributed to building a foundation of the Great Reset. In his book titled Billions and Billions of Demons, you know, these titles intrigue me to buy the book. But I don't know really what's in it. And then you read and go, whoa, now I know what they're thinking. So here he says this. He said, Quote, our willingness to accept scientific claims that are against common sense is the key to an understanding of the real struggle between science and the supernatural. Listen, I didn't say that science cannot be compared with supernatural things. They say that. He says that. He says, we take the side of science in spite of the patent absurdity of some of its constructs, in spite of its failure to fulfill many of its extravagant promises of health and life, in spite of tolerance of the scientific community for unsubstantiated just-so stories, because we have a prior commitment, a commitment to materialism. Dr. Fauci is a student of this theory. He's not done yet. It is not that the methods and the institution of science somehow compel us to accept a material explanation of the phenomenal world, but, on the contrary, that we are forced by our a priori adherence to material causes to create an apparatus of investigation and a set of concepts that produce material explanations. No matter how counterintuitive, no matter how mystifying to the uninitiated, read deplorable. Moreover, that materialism is absolute, for we cannot allow a divine foot in the door. End of quote. These are some of our movers and shakers in the scientific world today, especially in biology. And when we're talking about vaccines, we're talking about biology. We're talking about something that is being put into your body. This man wouldn't care a bit if a billion people die in order to advance his scientific research. That is crazy. Oh, he wrote quite a few books. Once I got into it, I thought, here's another rabbit trail. He wrote a book called Biology as Ideology. Obviously, that caught my attention too. So you have to buy the book too, correct? So the subtitle is The Doctrine of DNA. He says, this is phenomenal. Pure science is in fact shaped and guided by social and political needs and assumptions, end of quote. Wow. That's COVID-19. But he wrote that book in 2015. When science is shaped and guided by social and political agenda, we learned a long time ago that's not called science. That may be pure in that man's mind. Hard evidenced science is not going with this. That's why we have some good scientists, but these guys here, they have nefarious plans. The great reset people using this material as the guidebook to move the world population forward. And the church tells the people, oh yeah, social distancing. Yeah, masks. They don't even know that they have been transformed by lies. You say, well, Pastor, don't you know? The sickness is real. Yeah. So is any other flu? So is any other sickness? There are tons of sicknesses. Never has the world ever shut down the world economy because of a disease. Never. As a matter of fact, the damage to those political instigated maneuvers has done more damage than any virus that will ever come along. And I'm not so sure when this vaccination is over, we have killed more people with vaccination than there are dead because of COVID. So these are gurus. They set the rules for us. He said, pure science is controlled by social and political needs. Read, follow the science, sit down and shut up. These are not my words. I just quoted someone. Dr. Judy Mikovits, brilliant mind, she wrote a book called The Plague of Corruption. And I just read to you the review, because it's better said than what I could say it. It's the breathtaking story of an extraordinary scientist who discovered the most likely case of chronic fatigue syndrome, only to witness a cover-up and character assassination emanating from the highest levels of the scientific community. We're not talking about government. Scientific community goes after their own scientists. Keep on going. One commentator writes about that book. He said, a truly shocking set of revelations about the deep corruption and criminality of the medical industrial complex. It exposes the scientific fraud and brazen intellectual dishonesty that now characterizes the pharmaceutical cartels that sacrifices human health for corporate profits. Amen. Yep. Amen. That man nailed it, didn't he? Yes. He nailed it. And you and I need to understand, the plague of corruption, the scientific fraud, is a part of the Great Reset. When you hear that, put that in there. Judy Mikovits, she goes on to say this in the book. It's very interesting. Let's put it up. Is the computer slow or the person in charge? Just asking, so we can. Okay, here we go. The plague of corruption is enormous and encompasses many areas of our scientific, medical, and daily political existence. The pharmaceutical companies have corrupted the laws regarding vaccinations, and the corrupt media has poisoned the mind of the public. You see that? The public does not ask the simple question, if vaccines are as safe as sugar water, why do the pharmaceutical companies need to have complete financial immunity and be protected by a battalion of lawyers from the U.S. Department of Justice? That's in the book. Isn't that amazing? So she says, you know, there's a real, real, real problem. Let's give the other two paragraphs. The pharmaceutical companies are the largest contributors to the U.S. Congress and have more lobbyists than all other Congress and senators combined. Would you say that stuff is about money? That means they control the federal agencies, which is exactly what our Constitution, with its series of checks and balances, were designed to prevent. She goes on to say, the pharmaceutical companies are also bribing the media by their massive advertising buys on the evening news. Don't believe me, she said? Watch an hour of your favorite news station and count the number of pharmaceutical ads. Chances are that 50 to 60% of the ads will be for pharmaceutical companies. And do you ever watch TV? You know what, she's right on. There's so much money involved. This is what the Apostle Paul says, not to be programmed by the world. See? People in my age are taking approximately on the average 6 to 12 medications a day. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. So I tell you how you can cure yourselves. Every evening before you go to bed, take a bowl of ice cream. It will do it. It will keep you healthy. There's a disclaimer, I have absolutely no stocks in ice cream companies. So this is obviously just what we're dealing with, correct? It is huge, and I show you all these things because this is so important. Remember, do not be conformed to this world. This is what they want us to do. They want us to be conformed to the world. Now, I earlier said the author Rechtenwald at the beginning. In 2019, he wrote a book called Google Archipelago. And he said, the digital gulag and the simulation of freedom. It's absolutely fantastic book. You don't need to buy it, but... Well, you should buy it, yeah. Yeah. So let's put it up what he says. It's really, many socialists will be amenable to the Great Reset on principle, especially those who accept its rhetoric at face value. But for all its newfound popularity, socialism, communism still doesn't represent the majority. It is regarded as alien, obscure, and loosely connotes something negative. But more importantly, socialist communist ideology is not the ideology that best fits the goal of the Great Reset. This is where wokeness comes in. It's a brilliant, brilliant observation. He said, when one thing doesn't work, you use that as a base to get the mind away and then come into the back door and start this. It's brilliantly said. This man, to give you a little update, was a professor at New York University, a dedicated Marxist. As he saw what's going on in the universities around the United States, his eyes got open that there is a plan behind all these things. All of a sudden, these things being implemented in such rapid pace that even the professors did not recognize what's going on. And they just swallowed these things. And he says, let's put it up for you. Oh, by the way, Trotskyism. Trotskyism is simply Leon Trotsky is the guy who overthrown the SARS in Russia. And he is the one who said, if you want to make lasting changes, you have continuous revolutions. That's what you need to do. Go into the cities, burn things down constantly, give them a little break, go back in, take the businesses down, steal everything. I heard this week in California, in the Bay Area, where I used to pastor, they have to shut down all the Walgreens stores. They close them. Because of a law, if you steal in a store anything less than $1,000, you are not being arrested, nobody shows up, police doesn't show up. What do, these thieves? They go into the stores and steal every day at least $1,000 or less than $1,000 merchandise, and nobody can do nothing. They actually rob the stores blind so that the companies say, we're done with it, we close them. We're not doing business in the Bay Area any longer. Yeah, it's happening as we're sitting here. Comes to a city near you. He said, in the middle there, put it back up, he said, yeah, thank you, here we go. When the political climate on campus, victimology, cancel culture, no platforming, and political correctness run amok, that's 2015, when he recognized that. He said, it began to bother me. So he responded by creating a Twitter handle. He had to now, they went after him, so he had to take New York University out. And he began bashing campus excesses with humor-biting satire. Predictably, he was soon discovered and got a new assignment to go home. So this is what they do. If you're in these circles and you're going to expose it, you are going to lose your position. Okay? It's pretty powerful. But this is what he says. Let's put up actually his quote. What could wokeness have to do with the Great Reset? Remember, written in 2015. How did he know that there's a Great Reset coming? Wokeness works on the majority, the supposed beneficiaries of injustice. It does so by making the majority understand that it has benefited from privilege and preference based on skin color, gender, sexual proclivity, birthplace, imperialism, gender identity, and the domination of nature, to name some of the major culprits. He didn't mention them all. Are these the words we hear today? Then he goes on to say, this majority must be rehabilitated. That's a Russian word. When they didn't like you, when there was behind the curtain things going on, they just put you in an insane asylum, they call it, for rehabilitation. The Chinese have over 100 million in those camps. Yeah. And we buy the merchandise. The masses must understand that they have gained whatever advantages they have hitherto enjoyed on the basis of the unfair treatment of others. either directly or indirectly. And this unfair treatment is predicated on the circumstances of birth, like you and I would have anything to do with that. The privilege of the majority has come at the expense of those minorities designated as the beneficiaries of wokeness. And wokeness is the means for rectifying these new injustices. I'm telling you this because the major churches and denominations have swallowed wokeness, preaching it from the pulpit, destroying the very foundational biblical truth that we are uniquely made. We are made in God's image. Skin color has nothing to do with it. Where you were born has nothing to do with it. How you work and how much brain power has nothing to do with it. God has given each one a gift or hundreds of gifts. Use them for his glory. This is straight from the pit of hell. This goes against God's design. He said, wokeness is going to be the means for rectifying these many injustices. Let's go on. He says, and what are the effects of being repeatedly reprimanded as such, of being told that one has been the beneficiary of unmerited privilege, that one's relative wealth and well-being have come at an expense of oppressed, marginalized, or misused others? Shame, guilt, remorse, and unworthiness. By the way, this is why we wear masks. Has nothing to do with the virus. Everybody knows if a scientist is here and says mask work is a liar, and they know it. Why do scientists in the labs, when they deal with all these viruses, not wear masks? Why do they have hazmat suits? They know. They know. So they want to shame you. Have you not? How many of you ever felt like an idiot when you wear a mask? And then you go to a store and somebody talks to you. And you have no clue what they were saying. And you go, could you take that stupid mask off and talk to me normal? It's crazy. They want to demoralize us. Shame, guilt, remorse, unworthiness. And what are the expected attitudinal and behavioral adjustments to be taken by the majority? They are to expect less. That is a wonderful way of describing, let's do a wealth transfer. That COVID stimulus here, less than 9% is actually for health. The other 91% goes to wealth transfer. Hey, your children, they're going to pay for all this. Somebody's going to pay for it. It's not going to be good. Under woke ideology, one will be expected to forfeit one's rights because even these rights, nay, especially these rights, have come at the expense of others. Really? God gave us these rights. These are not rights because we're white, blue, green, or yellow, or what? It does not matter. Keep on going. I'm not done yet. In my heart and mind, I would have another 5 hours, but I know you're getting hungry. I can tell the way you look at me. I'm glad that food is not a part of wokeness, so you actually can participate. Wokeness indoctrinates the majority into the poverty-less future of the Great Reset. Did you just get that? While gratifying the left, its main ideological propagators, with a sense of moral superiority, even as they too are scheduled to become bereft of prospects. They don't even know that they will also lose everything. This is a former Marxist professor. Woke ideology, I contend, has tilled the soil and planted the seeds for the harvest that the Great Reset represents to the ruling elite. Who do you think is going to harvest all these goodies? Called maybe Bill Gates? Maybe Mark Zuckerberg? Oh, I don't even know him. Wokeness serves the Great Reset best. And thus, we see the language of wokeness in books and other literature devoted to its establishment. Two words, fairness and inclusion. It has become a final thing today, even in the schools. Our kids are being indoctrinated right now with that stuff. Gotta be fair. I grew up, I went to school, somebody looked at you wrong or said something wrong, you decked them. It solved the problem. We needed a cup in the school. No way. Bloody nose, stuff some paper up there. Go home. What in the world are we, a bunch of sissies now? You went home and you complained to dad. He said, hey, son, get a few friends and solve the problem. I'm not getting involved. We always solve the problem, one way or the other. Here is the thing which we need to learn. When we hear those things, how many of you get a little bit of blood pressure rising when you hear those things? That means we coming to the place and say, what in the world can we do about it? And this is where we end up. This is not hopeless for us. As a matter of fact, it could turn out to be the greatest hour of the genuine church. Let me say it again. It could turn out to be the greatest hour of the genuine believers. Because there's one thing, this is all demonically inspired stuff. The great thing these people don't know is Christ has 2,000 years ago conquered those demons. The victory has been won. We need to believe that and we need to act accordingly. We need to understand the battle doesn't have to be fought by us. The battle is the Lord's. We have to be constantly reminded up here not to be driven by fear. We were singing the song this morning. We are no longer slaves of fear. Jesus has done the work for us and he's still doing the work through us. Let's end up with Romans chapter 8. Verses 31 to 39. We were hearing those words today when we were singing a song today. What then shall we say to these things, to all this wokeness, to all these great resets, to all the things the world is throwing at us? If God is for us, the answer is
no.
He who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us a few things? All things. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. Who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us? Right now, by the way. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or swords? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's what we are regarded. But listen to this. No. I love that word. No, Paul said, no, that's not the way that's going to go. He said, in all things, we are more than conquerors to him who loved us. He said, that's the way that goes. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angel nor rulers, I would have loved to put a few more things in them. Nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And you can say a big amen to that. Let's bow our heads, shall we? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We need to be reminded of the things we are facing, the things that's going on, the things, the worldlings and those who want to steal your creation, want to destroy the very thing which you have created as the crown jewel of your creation, human beings made in your image. And Lord, I know you watch them and you only let them do these things for so long. My prayer is that your church will rise up. around the world, knowing that you have given us wisdom, it's found in your word, that you have given us marching orders, you have given us examples to all these wonderful people have gone before us and stood tall. Lord, you have given us some encouragement in your word. Anything we have need of, you already have provided. And Father, we thank you. The greatest gift was sending your son. And here he came. He must have been devastated just watching what human beings doing to other human beings, what demons are doing using people to torment other people. And Lord, nothing has changed. Except you planted your very kingdom invisibly into this wicked world. And here we are. You have given us, as you said, we are the salt, we are the light of this world. And you have given us the marching orders, go into all the world and preach those good news. And Lord, we thank you. May you open our eyes. May you give us strength and wisdom, the moral courage to withstand the pressure and to be reprogrammed by the world. Lord, I'm asking you to lead and to guide, but also to stretch us where we have to encounter circumstances and situations for which we know very well we have no power apart from you. But with you, through you, nothing is impossible. May you wake up your body in this country, around the world, Lord, that the greatest days of your glory are yet to come. Just when the enemy believes that they have won the battle, you will step in. Lord, you've done it in our own lives. You pulled us out of the fire, out of darkness, just when we thought there was no hope. You have done it many times, and I know you will do it again. We asking you that you will use us, not bypass us, Lord, but use us all for your glory. And we thank you, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people can say, amen and amen.